Bible there with you, Psalm 25. And last week we started a little mini series, just a three-part series here going through Psalm 25. And having the opportunity, as we finished up a couple of weeks ago, the study on the names of God, and it's just a blessing to walk through the Psalms. I'm so thankful for the book of Psalms, and it's such a source of encouragement, and the psalmist is so transparent, and we can relate to, and we can get help from. Of course, all of God's Word is profitable, and we're thankful for every part of it. This evening, as we continue through the psalm, let me just do a quick reminder of what we looked at last week in the first few verses. David, it's a psalm of David, and he begins the psalm this way: "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause." As we looked last week at this psalm, and we looked at the first three verses and then several verses throughout the psalm, we spoke about the fact that the psalmist was longing for peace. He was longing for peace, and there were some things that David was facing in his life, some circumstances that were adverse, and he was dealing with this great time of difficulty, and these circumstances drove him to his knees. It caused him to lift up his soul to the Lord, to seek the Lord, and in the time of difficulty when he was needing peace because of all of the chaos and the turmoil that was around him, he knew that he could go to Jehovah Shalom, the God who is our peace. And what a blessing to understand that. And at times, in the midst of our storms, in the midst of the storms of those that have gone before us, we need today, we need for our Savior, who is the Prince of Peace, to stand and say, "Peace be still." And aren't you thankful that he can do that? I'm so thankful that in the midst of all sorts of chaos and turmoil, and we live in a tumultuous time, we live with all sorts of things that we face personally and corporately, and we see those things, and we find that in a time of great chaos that we can go to the Lord and seek him for that peace. As we continue looking through this psalm, we note number two, and it's the lesson for this evening, that not only was David having a longing for peace, but we find throughout the psalm here that there's a longing for direction. There's a longing for direction. No doubt in your life and in my life as well, there are times in which we have much chaos going on and we need peace, and we know that we can go to God and he can give peace. But then at other times, we are facing circumstances and difficulties, and we just need direction. Have you ever been in a position where you just don't know what to do? Just don't know what to do. And the truth of the matter is that we are not omniscient. Amen? The Bible talks about the prudent man, and we're to be prudent, to try to see those things ahead. But the reality is that we don't know what's on the morrow, but God does. How many of you use GPS? How many of you have a map in your car, the old Rand McNally? Any of you got that? A couple of you. Praise the Lord. Y'all are prepared. Amen? And still use it, right? Why? Because sometimes that GPS might fail you. Holly was trying to get back to the church. We had there was a board meeting in the afternoon at that Beacon rally, and I was part of that, and so she wasn't there for that, and she was trying to make her way back to the church, and the reception wasn't so great, and the GPS said, "You have reached your destination. You may have to walk." I'd never heard a GPS say that before. And let me just tell you, she would have had to walk for an hour or more from where she was to be where the church was. It took her completely the wrong place. She called me and I said, "Honey, I have no idea where you are." So with having no idea where you are, and honestly, even if I knew where she was, I don't know that I would know how to get her to where I was because I'm not familiar with that area. You know what she needed? She needed some direction. And so, Bart, guess what I did? It was 6:58, church started at 7 o'clock. I was stressed out. How am I going to get my wife here? I don't know how to help her. And I thought, Donna Stroop is here. Now, some of you guys know Dan Stroop, Donna Stroop. They live there. They lived there for years. I said, Donna will be able to talk her through how to get here. And I went and found Donna. And I said, "Donna, can you please call Holly? She's lost.
Can you help her get here? You know what? She was able to one step at a time guide. What? She needed direction. But I couldn't give it to her. But there was somebody that could. And if I could use that physical illustration of an event that took place just last night, in your life and in my life, we need direction. We need God's direction. We need God to provide us with leadership. And as we look at this, this passage of Scripture and we note the approach of David, I would say that David's approach here in Psalm 25, when he's longing for direction, when he's seeking the Lord, that his approach is exemplary. And it's noteworthy that we would take and we would look at this and we would learn from this and not only understand that David was making good decisions and David was following a good path, but this is not just provided for us to be able to look at a historical account, but so that we could learn that in our lives we need direction and we can go to God knowing that He can provide that direction for us. In fact, just this week I sent a text message to one of the young people in our church, and I sent a text message just letting them know I was praying for them, how school was, so on and so forth. And I said, listen, is there anything specific I can pray for you about? And they sent me a text back and they didn't say these words, would you pray for direction? But through everything that they said in the text message, basically if you boiled it down into a single statement, it was, would you pray for direction? And I'm thankful that God will answer that prayer. Notice with me the example of David here. Notice his behavior, what he does in a time of needing direction, longing for direction. In verse number 4, he says, show me thy ways, O Lord. Notice what he says, show me thy ways, O Lord. And David is interested in having direction, but he's interested in having divine direction. He's interested in God showing, revealing to him, teaching him God's ways. He says, teach me, notice in verse number 4, teach me thy paths. And we notice that as David says in verse number 4, show me and teach me, he's seeking the Lord, the one who is Jehovah God, the one who knows all things, the one who knows what's on the morrow, and he needs direction. He's longing for direction. And so he says, show me thy ways, teach me thy paths. And then we find in verse number 5, he says, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Isn't that a great approach? When someone is longing for direction, when David, if it is in fact the case that he's dealing with the revolt of Absalom, as many assume to be the setting for this particular psalm, and he has all of this chaos in the kingdom and all these things that are going on. And God, what do I do? How do I handle this? What step do I take? And notice he says, for thou art the God of my salvation. And then he says this, on thee do I wait all the day. He had mentioned earlier in verse number 3 about, yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. And we mentioned last week, and it's worth repeating this evening, that this idea of waiting is not only patiently waiting for the Lord to provide and to give the green light, so to speak, with regard to the direction, but there's also the idea of serving the Lord, waiting on the Lord, and both are seen within even the passage. When I'm waiting on God to provide me for direction for my next step, I continue to serve the Lord. I don't stop serving God because I'm waiting for the next piece of information or the next step that I'm to take. No, I'm actively doing what I know that God has already told me to do as I'm waiting for direction in that next step. And we find that David here, he says, teach me. He says it in verse number 4. He says it again in verse number 5. Can I tell you this evening that just in those simple words, it reveals to us something that is important. Humility. Humility. You know, to be taught requires humility. And when we think about David saying here to the Lord, teach me. David knows that God is far greater than he is. And so he's going to have this humble approach. It reveals to us not only humility, but it reveals to us dependence. Teach me. Lord, I'm depending on you. I'm trusting you, Lord. I don't know what to do. Teach me. I'm going to be humble. I'm going to wait. I'm going to be dependent. I'm going to recognize that you are the one that is able to provide me with the direction that I need, and I desperately need direction. Notice, if you will, as we continue to look at this throughout the psalm, as we did last week and looked at various aspects of the longing for peace, but even this longing for direction. Notice, if you will, in verse number 8. Good and upright is the Lord. Isn't that a great statement? Listen, our God is good all the time. God is good because that's who He is. It's not based upon your circumstances or my circumstances. God is good. He's good all the time. And then He says, therefore, because God is good and upright, therefore will He teach sinners in the way. Now think about the fact, if we could look at this and understand this evening, who we are in relationship to who He is. Now I'm thankful this evening because of salvation, I am a child of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I have been adopted. Hallelujah. I am His son, and praise God for that. But the God of the universe that would save us, that knows everything about us, that He would care enough about our lives to provide us with direction, that He would take interest in each of us as individuals and provide us with direction. It's amazing that God loves us that much. God didn't save us and then just say, figure it out for yourselves. God didn't create and say, you guys all figured out. No, God has a personal interest in every single one of us. And the truth of the matter this evening is that all of us need direction, but all of us need different direction. Well, why do I say that? Because we're all dealing with different things. And we need direction in our lives for the things that we're facing. And the direction that I need is different than the direction that you need. And the direction that you need is different than the direction that someone else needs. Why? Because you're dealing with a different set of circumstances. We understand that as we are facing the circumstances in life and as we go to God and we seek Him, listen, I find this evening that how does God teach us? He teaches us through His Word. So we can't simply say, Lord, teach me, and then have no relationship to His Word. We can't say, Lord, teach me, and then skip out on going to hearing the public teaching and preaching of God's Word. Why? Because God's going to use His Word to give us an answer to the prayer of seeking direction. We can't skip our Bible reading. Why? Because God's going to provide that direction. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. Is that not what the Bible says of itself? And God will provide that direction. Not only does God use His Word to give us direction, but God uses the Holy Spirit. And I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful that at the moment of salvation, we are indwelled with the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God will guide us, He will teach us, and He will guide us into all truth. But I want you to understand something extremely important this evening. The Holy Spirit of God will never lead the child of God to do something contrary to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit of God will always, always, every single time, He will always lead us, direct us, in agreement with His written Word. It's important for us to understand. Why? Because sometimes people take a step back and say, well, the Spirit led me. No. I'm not sure what spirit that was, but John says, try the spirits. Does he not? And we find here this evening that David is understanding that because of God's character that is noted here in verse number 8, that he was confident that God will teach, therefore will He teach sinners in the way. And what a joy to know that God will provide us when we come to Him and say, God, I need direction. He says, okay. Now here's the important thing. We got to also determine that we're going to follow his direction. Amen? When we ask for God's direction, when we seek the Lord and we say, Lord, guide us, lead us, show us, we must come, we must approach that with the heart attitude of obedience. It's like Samuel when he says, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. That word heareth carries with it the idea of I'm going to hear it so that I can do it, so that I can carry it out. That's what the word means. And so when I seek God for direction, when you seek God for direction and God answers, it's not that I say, okay, now I'm going to consider if I'm going to follow this direction or not. It's not how it works. Have you ever been in a place where you thought you could navigate your journey better than the GPS? Have you ever done that? The GPS says to go this way, and you're like, I know a better way. Have you ever done that? I've done that. Mark said, Mimi's pointing at Mark. He does it. You know what I found out? That GPS is smarter than I am. I don't know how it knows what it knows, but I've done some things in the past, and I'm like, I'm not going that way. I'm not going to sit in traffic. I'm not going to deal with it. I know a better way. And I go a different way, and I'm like, man, I should have gone the other way. It's happened many times. Can I tell you this evening that God, He has perfect knowledge. And when He gives us direction, it's not for us to consider whether we're going to obey it or not. It's just for us to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And we just do it. We take heed to that which He provides us with. As we note some of the conditions, as David continues to speak about this idea of receiving direction or instruction in life, we note in verse number 9, the Bible says, the meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way. It's interesting, he mentions the meek here. That word means to be humble. We noted that a moment ago when we talked about David saying, teach me. But we also understand that it carries with it the idea of being submissive to the will of God. God knows your heart. He knows my heart. Our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked, according to Jeremiah 17 and verse number 9. But according to verse number 10, it's the Lord who tries the reins. God tries. He knows our hearts. He knows your thoughts. He knows my thoughts. And here the Bible says that the meek will He guide in judgment. The meek will He teach His way. So I wonder this evening as we begin to consider these conditions, and we see the first being that of being meek, submissive and humble to the will of God. We find in verses 12 through 14 that he's speaking about fearing the Lord. Notice in verse 12, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Isn't that an amazing verse in verse number 14? The Bible says that the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Understand with me this evening that there are nuggets of truth within the Bible. We're to search the scriptures and dig out the truth. And there are times in which you must labor and study and study and compare scripture with scripture. And you see that as you truly come with that meek, humble approach, fearing the Lord and desiring that He would show you, that God reveals truth to you, that He gives you truth. And we find that it says here in verse 9 about the meek, in verses 12 through 14, those that fear Him. Tonight, as we consider David longing for direction, I ask this question to myself and to you as well. Do you need direction? There's some things you're facing in life and you need direction. And here's the important thing that we must understand. As we look at the passage of Scripture and we consider the longing for direction that David is revealing to us in this psalm, and then thinking about our own lives, here's what I want us to consider this evening. Do we honestly want to know God's way? Or do you simply want Him to bless your way? I want you to think about that just for a moment this evening. Sometimes what happens in life, if we're not careful, is we have a plan. We know what we want to do. We know where we want to go. And we just simply say, God, would you bless my path? Would you bless my way? Why? Because I'm already determined where I'm going. Are you tracking with me tonight? It's a pitfall for us. It's dangerous for us. So do we honestly, sincerely want God to show me His way, and I'm going to step in obedience to what He has for me, the direction that He has for me? Or are we just simply saying, here's where I'm going, here's what I'm doing, here's how I'm living my life, and God just bless me? Do you see the difference? And what happens sometimes in life is if we're not careful, we get to the place where we think, this is my life. And so therefore, it's my life. I get to choose what I want to do. I get to choose where I'm going to go, which direction I'm going to go in, so on and so forth. And I'm not going to step outside of maybe my comfort zone, to use that terminology that we've heard many times over the years. Why? Because I'm already on this trajectory. I'm already in this direction. And so God just bless me as I'm going this way. Or we just simply say, God, I want to go your way. Show me thy paths, right? Show me, teach me thy truth. And we find this evening, I was speaking to a man in the last week, and he was sharing with me a testimony of one of his relatives. And his relative was raised a certain way, with a certain understanding of what he would do with his life. His parents were wealthy, had lots of land, and it was just known that that son would follow in those same steps and carry on the family business, if you will. But there were Christians. And that young man felt that God was calling him to the mission field. So what's he going to do? Is he going to say and submit to what God is leading in his life? Or is he going to say, my path's already been laid out for me. There's already these expectations. And the way the story was told to me is that man surrendered to go to the mission field. He went to Bible college, and the day that he went to Bible college, his parents disowned him and removed him completely from any will, inheritance, anything. This was just in the last like 60 years. This wasn't like 300 years ago. This is in the last 60 years. But I'm thankful for someone that had the courage and the commitment and the humility to say, I'm going to do what God's called me to do. And when we need direction, can I tell you this evening that sometimes when we're seeking God's face for direction, sometimes He leads us in such a way and we might say, are you sure? But really, we're the ones that are just doubting it, because God knows His way is perfect. Look, if you will, over at Exodus chapter number 13 with me. And I want to close with this tonight. We won't take much time here, but I want you to look at Exodus chapter 13 with me. And in Exodus chapter number 13, we find that there's an example that God provides us with of His leadership for the nation of Israel. The 10th plague, the death of the firstborn, has been completed. And we know that there's been just disaster in the land of Egypt for the Egyptians, and the children of Israel have seen the hand of the Lord. And we find that as we come to the end of chapter 13, beginning in verse number 17, the Bible says, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go. And I want you to notice this phrase, that God led them. But it says God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines. And then do you notice the next phrase? It says, although that was near. Although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. You know, God knew something about the way that was near that those people didn't know. God knew something about the way that was near that would impact and affect adversely his children if he led them that way. Right? Because it says God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. And we find that sometimes, and I think for the children of Israel, as you look here, they're thinking, here's the way we're going to go. Listen, sometimes we have a preconceived idea. This is what we're going to... And God says, I want you to go this way. Verse number 18, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. The children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn to the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. They took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Isn't that a blessing? God led them. So here's my question. If God led them, were they in the right place? Yes or no? Yeah, God led them. Pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. In chapter number 14, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. We find that, of course, you're familiar with chapter 14 of the book of Exodus, the parting of the Red Sea. But before we get to that, I want you to notice, and we're not actually going to deal with that tonight, but I want you to notice in verse number 9, the Bible says, the Egyptians pursued after them, that's the children of Israel, and all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea beside Pi-hahiroth before Baal-zephon. Is that where they were supposed to be? Is that where God led them? Yes, absolutely, right? God led them there. The Bible tells us in verse number 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And here's what they said. They said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. It was God that led them. But they faced a difficulty. They were where God led them to be. Why do I bring up this passage? We could look at a number of other passages throughout Exodus and Numbers and see this very thing taking place repeatedly in the nation of Israel's history. When you follow God's leadership and you follow His direction, it doesn't always mean that it's going to be perfectly blissful with no problems. Sometimes, what did Jesus say to the disciples? Go to the other side of the sea, right? Is that what Jesus told them? And what did they encounter? A storm. Were they doing what God told them to do? Were they following? Were they obedient? Were they abiding in the word that God gave? Absolutely, they were obeying. And in their obedience, they encountered a storm. You know, I've learned this in life, and the more I read the Bible, the more I live life, the more I learn this. If there were no storms, if we never had a storm, we'd truly never know how great our God is. We just wouldn't know. You say, but I don't like the storms. I understand. I'm in that same category with you, right? Like, I don't like them. But I'm learning. I haven't learned, I'm learning that God has a plan. And when I follow God's direction, when I'm seeking, Lord, I don't know what to do. Sometimes here's what happens in the I'll use the term the carnal mind. We take a step over here and we have a problem. We say, I must have made a bad mistake. I should be over here. Why? Because there was a problem, and so I obviously made a bad decision. But spiritually, if we're seeking God's direction and God is leading us, by the way, the shepherd leads the sheep, then when we encounter that difficulty, we don't have to second guess and retreat and change course. We just simply say, I know God's led me here, and so God's going to do something here. God's going to teach me something here. God's going to reveal something to me here. And this evening, it's truly a matter of us truly submitting, having that meekness, having the fear of the Lord, and saying, God, I need your direction. And I'm going to obey you. I'm going to follow you. I'm not simply asking, God, here are all of my plans, and now would you bless them? No, I'm saying, God, I want you to give me the plans for my life. We sing songs, My Life, Lord, is Yours to Control. That's a powerful song, by the way. Take my life and let it be. Where He leads me, I will follow. And we could go through song after song after song that we're familiar with. And the reality for us is that it's an everyday decision. We got things going on. We need direction. We need God's direction. I need to know that I'm where I'm supposed to be, doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and God's hand of blessing can be upon me. I want the God of the universe who knows everything and sees everything, I want Him guiding my steps. I don't want to be the one making the decisions just for myself. No, I want God through His Word, through His Spirit. Aren't you thankful when the Spirit of God gives you that confirmation, that peace, that this is my plan for you? You say, but I don't know how it's going to... We trust the Lord. We trust the Lord that He's got a purpose in it. David was longing for peace. David was longing for direction. In both instances, we can relate. In both instances, David goes to the only one that can provide true peace and perfect direction. And tonight, we too have access to Jehovah God, who can provide us with true peace and perfect direction. And that is a great blessing. This evening, you need some direction? Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. God, show me Thy paths. Teach me with that measure of humility. Guide me. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We certainly thank You for loving us. We thank You that You would care about us. You care for us. We're thankful tonight that You will show us, teach us in the way that we ought to go. And I pray, Lord, that You would help us to be submissive and obedient, that we would truly desire to know Your way. And that, God, You would order our steps, that we would please You, honor You, and glorify You. We thank You for the privilege of prayer. I do pray that You'd bless the remainder of the service. And Lord, I pray that Your name would be exalted, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, Brother Fernando.